Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast episode 796. The last RPG Cast of the year, we think.
Maybe.
Probably.
Are we supposed to cheer for that or cry?
It's going to depend on how much stuff gets in stealth announced.
Ah, okay.
You said that the Game Awards is probably going to be the last hoorah.
I would think so.
Well, the last major
hoorah.
Don't make
me find hundreds of things, because I probably could.
Yeah, give us, this is the last official show for 4 weeks, basically. So we'll see in 4 weeks how much we're going to be crying.
So joining me today, I have Kelly Ryan.
Hi.
Josh Carpenter.
We are here with all of the news and new game announcements.
Ryan Costa.
And more than you think in the news and game department as well.
And Robert Albright.
I'm just glad my computer can play things again.
Yeah, Tam had some computer issues, but it's okay. He just had to buy.
Exploded.
He just had to buy new RAM.
No, I had to buy a new RAM, new memory board, and a new HDD, which I only use for storage, which is why I will not be playing Super Robot Wars tonight.
Oof.
Yeah.
Don't buy RAM right now.
I lost all my emulation.
I don't think he had a choice.
Yeah, I had no choice.
But yeah, that's not a good thing to have to do right now.
At least mine was only 630 instead of 1,000. I really had no choice, Chaos. There was no option.
Well, you could sit there with a broken computer.
I mean, true. I could sit there
with a
broken computer. A computer
like a
that
caveman?
Can't even turn on.
Stream directly from your cell phone playing Nikkei. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
I could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys would have appreciated it, but I could have done it. So,
I want you guys to know.
Mm-hmm.
Something mean happened to me on YouTube yesterday.
Oh, no.
I was watching YouTube videos, trying to put something on while I work in the background. And I saw this one titled What I Would Actually Do in the Holodeck. I'm like, okay, let's see what this is. Hopefully it's not too naughty. And there's a lot of references to the sort of stuff you would think would be the answer to that question. And then finally the guy gets in the holodeck by himself. He says, computer, start program. Suddenly a little dog materializes. And he looks down and he says, hi, buddy. How you doing? I missed you. And then he shows a little tribute image to his dog who died last year.
Oh,
geez. And I was like, oh my God, that isn't fair. That's emotional abuse, emotional assault. To just watch this whole thing that's just sexual innuendos the whole time. And then it ends with he just misses his pet who passed away. And it's like, I'm not crying. You're crying. It wasn't fair.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know, right, Kelly? I shouldn't have even described it, should I?
No, I mean, I understand. I would probably do the same
thing. I know.
Best background noise? Question mark?
Chris, have you been watching the Mighty Nein cartoon on Amazon?
No, should I?
If you liked Campaign 2, yes, because it's really good.
I've been trying to convince myself I should go back and finish Campaign 2, because I'm halfway through it.
But there was sort of a scene like that with Caleb and his cat at the very beginning of the show, and I had to message Vaughn, look, there's a thing. Given what just happened to our cat, you're going to get triggered. And he was like, thank you so much for warning me. That would have gutted me.
Yeah, right?
Because it wasn't bad or anything. It was just Caleb using magic to see his cat again. And then Vaughn had to warn me in a later episode because it showed what happened to Caleb's family, and I can't say it because of spoilers, but basically we've been watching out for each other watching Mighty Nein, but it's also been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the holodeck thing made me think of that. See, I was just thinking I would just use the holodeck to just make a whole bunch of cats and have them come sit with me.
Mm-hmm. But now you know it would be all the cats you've lost.
Maybe
and you'd never leave.
Maybe even some big cats.
Hmm.
Since I could program them to not eat my face.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not maul you.
I'm gonna get my puma.
If Holodeck didn't have a permanent injury, maybe that would be entertaining in itself. Are you a spicy kitty today? Oh no, my arm.
but also, you know, our game of the year, Claire Obscure Expedition 33 has some themes about escapism and loss.
Just a few.
Yeah. Tying it back to RPGs.
Well, that's depressing. What'd you play this week, Kelly? Oh, okay. Tell me what's not depressing down there.
I was just going to say quickly, at least on this version of the cast, before we go to the RPG of the year cast that we do later, who called Clear Obscure being game of the year? I wonder, was it me? I think it might have been.
Did you actually?
Yes.
He and I both.
I can look that up.
I kind of had a feeling, given how much hype that game had. And isn't it done by ex-Ubisoft employees?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that makes sense.
Dang it. Jawan and Dalendar did.
Wasn't there also some controversy about them using AI?
No.
I'm not aware of it.
No, there was not.
Okay, my bad. I ended up muting the word AI on my Blue Sky just because I'm tired of people bitching about it. But good on that team for winning Game of the Year. I do believe they deserved it. And
they won all the games awards except
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they were like the Titanic.
Everything except People's Voice Award, which went to Wuthering Wave. Design. They didn't win audio design? Oh, that went to Battlefield.
6 won that.
Yeah. Because bullet sounds are fun.
I did not know that Shadowheart was the voice of one of the characters in that.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
In Battlefield?
No, in Clair Obscur.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who she played, though, but she's won, like, Best Voice Actress of the Year for, like, 3 years in Mael.
I think, because I haven't played Baldur's Gate 3, but I'm pretty sure that's the same character. Shadowheart comes up a lot whenever Jennifer English's name's mentioned, so if it isn't her, it's her girlfriend's character.
But, yay. Chris, you asked me what I've been playing.
I did.
I found me a new Terraria-like survival RPG/game called Necess.
Okay.
It's a top-down survival game, so kind of like a Legend of Zelda-esque exploration. And what I've been enjoying about it is that there's town building, because I apparently couldn't get enough town building with Guardians of Azuna, so I went into more town building. I spent like 3 hours last night making a new settlement and building a new town from scratch just to optimize my villagers. So that they
procedurally generated world. You have me at this intrigue.
Yeah. Basically, it's just like Terraria, but top down. And yeah, with villagers that you can set to do various tasks. Like I have mine every time I come back from my little expeditions with or they automatically smelt all of it for me, and then they make a little farm, or I have a little farm where they automatically like grow seeds and harvest and mill the wheat and then make bread. And I've also got like a little animal pen that I've got cows and sheep in, and you can get a animal handler that like goes and milks all the cows and shears all the sheep. And if you set your animal pen up, you can set your animal pen up to where if the population gets more than a certain amount, then they'll go ahead and slaughter the animals for you so that you're not running out of resources too quick. And it's just, it's the kind of exploration game that I've wanted to get out of my system since I finished up Pal World. There's not much else to it other than that, but I I booted it up and I can't get enough of it, and it's Steam Deck compatible, though the building is kind of a pain in the ass on the Steam Deck because, you know, you don't have the precision that you have
the mouse. Yeah.
With the mouse. And yeah, I don't know if I've sold anybody on it.
It was in early access for 6 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
It's on sale right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make up that money from 6 years and from somehow.
Yeah.
So this is a Terraria, like you say?
Or yeah.
Is it, okay.
Is there loot from combat?
Yeah.
Then yeah. Oh, yeah. You sold me enough to want to try.
There's all sorts of loot. I found a trinket that gives me a little wisp that finds treasure in the mines for me. I've also got a ostrich mount that I found that I'm running around on a giant ostrich. There's just kind of lots of little details in this game that's just cute. And this scratched the itch. I said Pal World earlier, but now I remember. Do you guys remember Far World Pioneers that came out last year that was supposed to be the Terraria killer?
No.
No.
Well, the devs forgot about it, too.
Okay.
Oh.
Because they were supposed to put out, like, a big content patch. I mean, it went to 1.0, and they were supposed to put out a big content patch that fixed a lot of stuff. And then a year passed, and they're like, hey, guys, I think this game's abandoned. And that sucked because that game was really fun. And, yeah, had the town-building aspect. Actually, Far World Pioneers was a little more supposed to be like Starbound, because you were stranded on a planet and you could recruit other ship people or crewmates to basically run your settlement for you. And I had got all the way to the end of the tech tree on that and went to go build the whatever nuclear reactor it was, and it's like, why can't I build the reactor? Oh, they haven't put it in the game yet, even though this game is technically at 1.0. And that really broke my heart, because I had a lot of fun with that game, and I hate that it got abandoned, but this one looks like they're still supporting it. I would imagine so.
So I'm reading the reviews for Nissus, and they referenced Terraria Cross Core Keeper. Have you played Core Keeper?
I have not played Core Keeper. I saw it on my recommendations, and it looked like the same vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it. I have it in my cart. I'm not sure if I'm going to pick it up yet.
It looks very much more combat focused than the other one, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I liked the exploring.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I love about these games, is just getting sucked into the mines and just trying to see what new biomes I can find and what treasure I can excavate and stuff like that. So this is probably going to keep me occupied until Christmas. The only other thing I've really been playing is Capcom Picross. Jupiter released a double pack of Picross games, one for Capcom and one for SNK. And they're kind of expensive for Picross games. They're like $17.
They got to pay the licensing fees.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to wait until they went on sale, but then I'm like, I am really jonesing for a new Picross. And while I could, you know, play some of these ones that I've had piling up, but this, I played all the other themed ones like Namco and Sega. I'm going to get the Capcom one. And I got it. And yeah, it's Capcom themed puzzles. Lots of Mega Man bosses.
Which is topically relevant since Mega Man is getting a new game.
Yeah. And I'm surprised they didn't just call it Mega Man 12. I didn't see the trailer. Is there anything special about this new Mega Man game coming up, or is it just classic Mega Man?
Mega Man looking.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're not getting it until 2026.
Is what I've heard. 27.
27, yeah.
Or 27, sorry.
I mean, it looks like Mega Man, point, not Mega Man X, so people are calling it Mega Man 12. And it's 3D, but like graphics, but 2D gameplay, like side-scrolling, Mega Man jumping, shoot things. And
I think that's all we got. Creator contest for the bosses.
Say what?
So, in some of the older Mega Man games, they've actually put out contests where you submit boss ideas.
Okay.
For the 8 robot masters.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing that right now.
Ah, so, that's how we got Sheep Man or whatever, right?
I think it was a lot of the ones from 6.
They used to do that back in the day because I saw the gold cartridge for Mega Man 5 in a shop in Japan that they wanted like a billion yen for. Fun fact, the creator of One Punch Man won one of those contests.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which character did they make?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. Okay.
Well, I'm just picturing One Punch Man in there because that fits as a boss, as a Mega Man villain.
You get hit once, you're dead. Start over. Yep. Sucks for you.
According to Reddit, he won the contest twice, and he designed Mega Man and Crystal Man for Mega Man 4 and 5.
There you go.
Oh, let's see.
I mean, yeah, this looks... I was looking at Mega Man 11 after this. I'm like, yep, it's just another one of those.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Not,
you want Mega Man? Oh, here's Mega Man.
Here we go. Dust Man and Crystal Man.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Oh.
Sorry.
I found it on Wiki.
Crystal Meth Man? That would be something else. He'd clean the whole dungeon.
He's blue.
Great, now I have Eiffel 65 stuck in my head.
Is that your intro music?
he wants to be an 80s star. Apparently I know more Eiffel 65 songs than most people.
I'll never forget hearing Vaughn listening to Eiffel 65 and me going, wait, do they just have an entire song of PlayStation titles?
Oh, it's the Blue Dabba D song. Okay, that's what we're referring to. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, yep, it was the 90s. Sorry, we are on a tangent. How do we get out of this? Oh, yeah, Capcom.
Did you play anything else, Kelly?
No, that was pretty much it. It's been kind of a light week for me as far as gaming.
I did exactly what I said I would do last week, which is keep playing Path of Exile and Where Winds Meet. As of yesterday, I'm at a bit of a quandary. Thankfully, I've got a lot of time to figure out what I want to do. But a new Path of Exile 2 season started yesterday. A new Diablo 4 season started the day before yesterday. I still have lots of fun things to do in Path of Exile 1 if I want to. And I've got more... I will never run out of stuff to do in Where Winds Meet. And then, of course, you know, all the games I haven't finished that have started before. And I'm getting a little antsy about like what should I do. And then you come in here and you talk about your addictive farming, building, shooting, killing games, and I'm like, oh, should I play, get into one of those? And the answer is probably no. Chris, stop. Just
by the way, Chris, speaking of Where Winds Meet, did you hear that someone bought the $42,000 boat?
Yes, Tam, I did.
Was it you?
No.
I wasn't like, sure if he was talking to me or you.
RP gamer.
The boat situation is very confusing. So, like, I've seen the boat. I've been on the boat. When someone sails the boat, the whole server hears about it. It like pops up and it says, "There's the boat is sailing." Like, it's part of the game. It's like, "Yo, the boat's taken off." Now, there is scheduled boat stuff in the game. So there's actually non-person buying the boat stuff that's scheduled to happen. So I think there's some confusion about which boat is the boat that the people on the boat are boating. But also, it's so out there that somebody bought the boat that I think we're pretty sure somebody actually bought. I don't know how this works. But yeah, I think we talked about this on the show in the past. Basically, the way to guarantee you get the boat leads to like $42,000 to $53,000 of spending, depending on how lucky you are. Or you could actually like just actually no, I think that's the only way to get it. It's a turn in all your pity rewards for it. So yeah, no, you're not supposed to get the boat, but someone's got the boat because they had too much money. Maybe they still do.
The only way to become a homeowner in 2025
is to buy a boat in Where Winds Meet.
Sounds about right.
The boat's dumb. It looks beautiful. I like being on the boat, but like I wouldn't want to own the boat because it's not, it obviously, you know, it's not worth $50,000, $40,000, but like if you were to be the one to get it, it would not be worth $40,000 to $50,000 to you other than as a trophy of like, hey, I've got money and I'm flaunting it.
Yeah.
See, and people give me shit for the $60 gotcha skins in Nikkei.
I could think a hell of a lot better things to do with money than a fake boat in a video game.
Agreed.
This just sounds like that Family Guy joke. Could get the mystery box or a boat. It could be anything. It could even be a boat.
Yeah, Tam, I think that's your defense is not valid because just because this is even more ridiculous, it doesn't mean that the decision you're making with a smaller amount of money is any more good. But it's your money. Have fun.
And I enjoy this. I enjoy most of the skins. The newest one is a little wonky.
Is it?
Yeah. I do not like it. I do not use it. But I did buy it!
So I've been, one of the biggest problems with Werewind's Meat for me is that I can't, I can, but I don't like how you have to do it. Getting it to work on the Steam Deck is not great. They're working on a Steam Deck version, but it's not out yet. So I need to figure that out, because that's where I would like to play it.
So you
but
can
it's
just
on
brute
mobile,
force
though.
It right now?
Well, yeah, you can, you have to download, you can make it, you can run it in Steam and it's going to perform real bad. You can download the PC version from their website and log in with your Steam account. And then that when you download it from them instead of from Steam, you have the option to install the quote unquote light version, which runs on lower end hardware. And if you do that, it runs better or decent enough on a Steam Deck. But it's awkward whenever you're launching games outside of Steam on the Steam Deck. And I just don't like doing it unless I have to. So I've been doing that and I have... and. I haven't been able to log in because you need to, it's so janky. You need either an arcane combination of window switching and copy paste buffering hoops to jump through in order to log in for the first time, or you need to plug in a keyboard. And every time I've been trying to do this login thing, it's been 11 o'clock at night and I'm laying in bed and I don't want to get out of bed and disturb Andy and wake him up and, like, so I haven't successfully logged in on my Steam Deck because of that. And at this point, I'm like, they just launched the mobile version. Maybe I should play it on my phone in bed because that it's probably going to work better there. And then I just haven't. It's a whole thing. But it's the sort of thing that I could do when I'm going on vacation to Canada for a couple weeks here. And maybe I'll do it there. But you know, not a very interesting story, I know. But that's where
I'm at. Have you looked into getting a Bluetooth chat pad for your Steam Deck?
Oh my! No, but this would have been a good place for it.
Because like me bitching about building in Decess, that's pretty much what I was using last night to kind of help mitigate it to have mouse control. Because it had the one I have has a little touch pad that functions as a mouse, and basically any game, any MMO I've hot. Loaded on my Steam Deck like WoW or FF14 or FF11, that chat pad's been a godsend.
Well, but the Steam Deck has trackpads on it.
Yeah, it's just it's a little bit easier to control.
Okay,
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, all right.
Much sense as $60 skins and Nikkei.
Yeah, true.
Especially after this current one.
Tamor, have you been able to play anything with your new computer?
Well, it's not a new computer. It's just a fixed computer.
It's a new RAM. It's you downloaded more RAM. It's like you have a new computer.
Yes, but so I started up my yearly run of Final Fantasy.
One?
Yes. I don't know why. I have this goal every year to at least play Final Fantasy One once.
That's a good goal. I enjoy booting up that game every once in a while. Of the Pixel Remaster?
Yeah. No, at this point, I'm just going to do the Pixel Remaster. You know, have all the boosts on, beat in like 10 hours.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Or less. Yeah.
Because before, my port of choice was the PSP port.
Yeah, so I'm at, this particular run, I've got a warrior, a thief, either a thief or a black belt, I forget which, a white red mage, and a white mage. So that, and then that's the other thing I do, is I try and vary up like the party I take.
Okay.
One of these days, I want to try a whole black belt run, just to see how hard it is.
You'd be taken out by the Sahagans, as far as I'm concerned, because even in the official strategy guides, they always lose to Sahagans.
Yeah, but and as per normal, my red mage is named Hairfrog. I don't know why, but Hairfrog is just I picture Hairfrog as the red mage. So yeah, just although I own like every single version of Final Fantasy. Or not, I don't own every single one, but I own a majority of them, I think.
I have the video up from Austin SV where he compares every single version of Final Fantasy 1.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite out of all of them?
Pixel Master is definitely up there. I do enjoy the PSP version as well. I was one of the first. I was one of the people, because I owned the WonderSwan color version, I was one of the ones who called out some of the people who were like, "Oh, this is a graphics update." It's like, no, it's not. This was the same graphics that they used in the, you know, WonderSwan color version.
What was a graphics update?
So there, people kept saying like there was a graphics update for the GBA and the PSP version, and it's like, no, they've had this update. They've had this type of graphic update before since.
Well, it's more pixels on those other versions, but yeah, you're right.
No, go look at the WonderSwan.
I'm looking at the WonderSwan color version of the throne room. Okay, we got to get into pixel counting. All right, let's count the king's. 1, 2, 3, 4, five diagonal on the king's collar. And then let's go to the, what are we looking at, the PlayStation 1 version? No, we're looking at the GBA. Game Boy Advance version. And, which I think my memory also is saying that the Game Boy version was based on the WonderSwan. WonderStrong? WonderSwan? Come on, King, I need your collar on the screen. Come on. There we go. And how
the
many
GBA
we got?
Version one, was two, one of my three, favorites four, for the longest five. Time.
And okay, now it's brighter right. Only because of the fact the GBA had the backlight, whereas the WonderSwan color does not have a backlight.
Well, I think this is direct capture footage, though, isn't it? I think the way the colors are rendered here is just different, but whatever.
Well, the WonderSwan color did not have a backlight.
Right, but that wouldn't affect the capture. If you're getting the video out directly from the system, the backlight doesn't matter.
I don't think you could. I'd have to go pull my WonderSwan color.
Oh, it would have to be modded, right, to make that happen. I'm not saying it's built in.
And I don't think you can really mod those.
Okay. So you think he's just got a really good camera capture of this? I guess that's possible because that's what he does. So. Oh, or, yeah, emulate it. That makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, one of the two.
All right, anyway, so, carry on.
So besides Final Fantasy 1 with my yearly run, which I should hopefully finish before the new year, because I could finish it this week, is I also booted up Octopath Traveler Zero.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so which is the...
mobile game converted to regular game?
Yes, the mobile game converted to regular game. So it's been fun because I actually played the mobile game when it launched, and I had the issue of, oh, I completed all the stories that are available at this time. You know, because it was at launch. So it's kind of nice that they sort of integrated all those stories into this, seeing all the returning characters from at least Octopath Traveler 1 and a lot of like new characters. So that's been fun. My one question is, because I think the gacha game is still going, is if they are going to continually do updates for Octopath Traveler Zero with new content, or if they're going to try and squeeze in new games out of it. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how is the conversion now that it's not a mobile game? Does it feel like they've cobbled it together from a mobile game, or does it feel just like a normal Octopath Traveler release?
It feels, even the mobile game actually felt pretty much like an Octopath. The biggest difference is the only character that can change classes is the main character you create. Everyone else is sort of like set classes with set skills. But there are skills that you can find in like boxes and whatnot and equip them on the side to help increase, you know, the characters and whatnot. So
I wonder if the mobile game will end up spinning off, because looking into it at least a bit, the developers for both are entirely different. So there's two different teams working on one mobile, one Octopath Traveler Zero.
I wouldn't. They took what was from the mobile game and made Octopath Traveler Zero. So I think that's not a good good way to look at it.
Oh, you're saying you're wondering how it will incorporate.
Well,
continuing in the future. So
my thought process is if Square will continually take the stuff that the mobile game developer is putting in and moving it into the non-mobile game.
Which, if they're two different teams, would make that connected.
That doesn't matter. It's up to Square.
Mm-hmm.
Square Enix is the one funding both the thing in general. So they can, if they want it to be done, they will pay to have it done. That's the way to look at it.
Seems like too much work to me.
Yeah, that's how come I made the comment. It's like, or they will put it into a second game. But yeah, and battles are really interesting because Chris has it on screen right here. You have 8 party members that you can switch like front and back. So depending on what you need for the battle, but also you can have your front row go while building up your back rows. Bars and then switch them out accordingly too. And there's even some skills where, like, if you use it in the front row, it'll automatically take that character and put them in the back row. So there's a lot of strategy to it. So I'll run it back. That is a good question thing. But this is actually a prequel to Octopath 1. So playing Octopath Traveler 2, you don't really need to if you want to play this one instead. Because this happens before. Like, you can see there in the town where Tressa is, and you just saw that voice, the line there where it's talking about a bridge. The bridge to the east of Tressa's town has not even been built. I forget the name of the towns yet in this one, whereas in Octopath Traveler 1, the bridge has been built.
Gosh, it had been so long since I had played Octopath Traveler 1 that I wouldn't even remember any of it.
Well, you don't need to, because all the events of this happened before Octopath Traveler 1.
I know. I don't remember any of 1.
You're not going to catch the references, the subtle references.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
The backlog is never ending. I played a little bit of this on Monday after I got my computer back. And then otherwise, I have been just reinstalling just about everything. I have not started reinstalling my emulation stuff yet. And I have to restart Super Robot Wars OG, second OG. Again, which is why
did you lose your save files?
I lost when I lost both my HDDs, I stored like any games that need dedicated like SSDs, I have games on those, but anything where it's like just pure single player where I'm not really concerned about, you know, needing that optimization, Yeah, I have it on my HDDs. So I lost all my emulation on it because of the fact those were on one of my HDDs.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, luckily, I had a lot of it back. I had a backup of a lot of the stuff on an external, which I can pull from, but I still lost all my saves.
Oof. That to me is the hardest part. Uh-huh. So brutal to lose your save progress.
Yeah, so that's how come I'm not going to be streaming Super Robot Wars tonight because of the fact I lost my save data, and I just don't. I mean, I was over halfway through the game already, and I just don't feel like doing that right now.
That's just gutting.
yeah. So I'm going to play something else. I'm going to play some other games for a bit for stream. I will come back to Super Robot Wars. So tonight I will be playing the Tales of Xillia remaster.
Oh, cool.
Oh, all right.
I mean, I played it on the PlayStation. I love the game. In fact, since it is a remaster, has anybody played it yet?
No.
Okay.
We have a review up.
I was curious if I forget if the Santa costumes were early or not, because technically I could do Xillia Christmas, because there are. You know, there are like Christmas themed Santa costumes for all the characters.
I remember that, but it's been too long. Where did you get them in the game? Was that later in the game?
I forget if it was later in the game, if it was from those stupid Alfred chests, or if it was DLC.
Yeah, it's been too many years. I can't remember. Yeah. I remember the costumes.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to be starting up that here tonight for the stream.
Which way are you going? Are you going with Mila or Jude?
I will start with Jude because I think Jude's story makes more sense on the first playthrough. And since I am streaming it, I want that to be the, you know, the game to make
more sense. More sensical. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jude makes more sense on the first playthrough. Now, do I plan? But I mean, this is streaming. I'm the last streamer of the day ever, you know, Saturdays and Sundays. So I can do both and still have a good time.
Yeah.
How does this work? You have to play both and then you get the real ending or something like that?
No.
Okay.
No, not for Xillia. Thankfully.
See, if I was going to play it again, I'd play as Mila because I played Jude my first time through.
I played both.
Oh, you did a new game plus?
Yep.
I can't even remember if I was at my house when I played that game or at the apartment.
Yeah. So, yes, so anyways, that
yeah.
So yeah, unless people want to hear the pain that was me repairing my computer, that's pretty much all I play because, again, most of it is just me downloading games.
I feel your pain, Tam. It's it's so awful.
Mm-hmm.
Me, the thing that gets me most is losing save files. I'm just like, oh no, not the, even the cost. It's just like, oh no, not the save files, not all the time.
I thought Steam did cloud saves.
Again,
well, not for emulated games.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. I did have at one point my Steam cloud saves turned off because that caused issues for a couple games.
Hmm.
So, but I think I've turned that back on, so I shouldn't have an issue with that. But Josh, what have you been playing?
Oh, I've also been, I thankfully hadn't had computer issues, but I've been having, you know, like homeowner issues where my microwave went on the fritz and then that tripped a breaker and then the breaker is dead. So I had to get an electrician in to fix the breaker so that then I can actually get the microwave fixed. And I still don't have a microwave and oven right now. So that sort of, you know, fun stuff.
I mean, no offense on the microwave. Wouldn't it just be easier to buy a new microwave?
It's like a fancy like microwave slash convection oven, and it's built in with the oven, you know, so you kind of have like two ovens. So no, you just got it's not just like sitting out on the counter. If it was, I'd be tossing it. Absolutely.
Oof.
So gotta fix it, and it's you know, it's a pain. Homeownership, yay.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, when I hadn't been dealing with that, I've been like delaying the end of the Outer Worlds 2, which it's been good enough that I've been having a really good time, like finishing up all the side characters, side stories. That game, I really do think it is better than the first one. I've been pleasantly surprised. I don't know that it's still a really excellent Western RPG, but like the characters themselves, your companion characters like Marisol, like has a really interesting storyline. It's interesting how you're able to actually kind of like shape some of your companion characters depending on how you play the game. You know, like if you are just like bloodthirsty, you can kind of like shape them that way. If you're like constantly trying to just like talk your way out of all the different situations, you can kind of like shape the characters to be like that. Some of the characters, if they, you know, like if you don't handle things correctly, they'll just like peace out and leave you. So I think they did a really good job with that. It's been a lot of fun to kind of like go through that stuff. I you know, for the first game was more like a 2.5 or 3. This one's maybe more like a 3 to 3.5. Like it's a good improvement. It's not going to be Baldur's Gate 3 or anything, but it's a very solid Western RPG to kind of scratch that itch. And I mean, like, hey, I've been swamped with everything going on this week. And, you know, I've still been sitting at my computer and playing this for a couple hours every night, even after spending, you know, 10 hours staring at a computer screen. So that's a pretty good statement for it.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting because I've heard a lot of negativity towards this one.
Well, I mean, like, I know our review, like, the one thing I would definitely say, do not play it on, certainly don't play it on PlayStation. I mean, our reviewer had tons and tons of issues on there. I'm playing it on PC. It is so much better on PC. I've had literally no bugs, no issues, no problems. That's part of it. And I mean, you know, like, everybody's taste is going to be somewhat different. Some of that is just like, I think I'm kind of in the mood for a Western RPG. I hadn't played one in quite a while, so this one is definitely kind of like filling and scratching that itch for me.
Okay, I'm sorry, Josh. Chris, why are you watching repair
videos? Josh needed repair for his microwave, so we're watching a microwave repair video. It's teaching us about all the components. I don't even know
if Josh is watching the stream.
But like, we learned about the diodes and how to test them. We've learned that it's dangerous to do microwave repair because of all the high voltages.
There's no way in hell I would try to even attempt microwave repair.
You can kill yourself. Don't do that.
Go look up a
Breaker's already dead, though. You're fine.
The microwave can hang on to the voltage for quite a time after even the power is removed. So you have to be very, very careful fixing microwaves.
Remember, use the fork to poke it.
What have you been doing, Ryan? What have you been playing this week?
Well, first to preface a bit, I do not own a home, but I've been dealing with the joys that come with apartment living.
Oof.
A couple weeks ago, I found, probably migrated from another unit in my apartment building, a bed bug, because I had issues with them a couple of years ago for 3 years straight. And dealing with the stress of that, plus work and getting a cold, didn't really have time too much to play a game, but I have been enjoying the game I've been playing, though it does fit with my statement of how life has been going in the apartment. The game I'm playing is Kingdoms of the Dump.
Hey! That's the one where you play as a trash can.
Yes.
And was made by janitors.
This was the cute looking one.
It is very cute. It is very fun. But usually you're trying to play something to escape. And when your first place you're going to is the seedy underground bedbug motel.
Oh, no.
It felt a little too topical for me for a bit. Yeah. Like, let me calm down, rest, relax. Then I'll pop the game. Let's do that. But characters are very entertaining and endearing. They're It goes between somewhat comedic at times to very heart like wrenching and warming at times too. So like it's a lot deeper a story than you would expect. It's a world built entirely around the concept of the garbage fill and all of that. And they find a way to make it very colorful and interesting to move around in. The moving around on the overworld will just look exactly like a Super Nintendo. It's Mode 7 technology through and through. And then you make it to the smaller areas, and it's just like a Super Mario RPG, except a lot more indie-fied, because while you're jumping around, they actually have a button that's very good for something like this. It's called Unstuck. So whenever you jump behind something by accident, get stuck there, you can just unstuck yourself to the beginning of the map again. Like that map screen.
See, so when I played Monster Crown, that had a button in it, but I think it was because it was the game was so buggy that was the only way they could figure out how to fix it.
I'm thinking this could be a little similar, but other than glitching through occasionally, like while you're walking in front of something, it kind of looks like you're walking in it. The actual platforming itself is very intuitive, and it's mostly just, you know, jumping behind a counter you shouldn't be going to type situations that cause any real getting stuck. The combat has one of its timed button presses, but it has one of the like least useful aspect to it. Like what I mean is, enemy attacks you hit the dodge like correctly, instead of taking 30 damage you take 27. It's like it doesn't feel like doing it really changes too much. Now maybe there's a greater chance of dodge and I just haven't figured out that percentile, but it's almost like extra buttons just to make you feel engaged. And, you know, I'm still enjoying it. It's hitting the time presses. It's a relatively short game, to my knowledge. I'm about 10 hours in, so plenty of time to still see a lot of different variety and characters, battles, skills, and usages. It is relatively difficult as well. I thought it was going to be too difficult because I went to an area I thought was a side area, found out it was where I was supposed to be going, and I think I got there too early. So when I fought a boss, it definitely like wiped out all of my healing items and everything else that I had. And then I ended up going to the next round of fights. I'm like, what if I do this? And I changed my plan around and using some of the skills a bit more. Everything was dying pretty quick. So
does it have difficulty settings, or is it just like a straight, it has its singular difficulty and you just have to deal with it?
I believe there was a choice at the beginning. I will be honest in that I'm planning on doing a review for this, so I typically just go default.
Default, no matter what. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if there was a choice, I haven't really looked into it because I would just keep it at default anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interesting like stuff to put that they put in the background for each of the areas you go through. There's like, you can tell this was a love letter to not only the janitor stuff that was mentioned earlier, but Super Nintendo RPGs in general. So it'll be interesting to see some homages come up that I'm sure I'll recognize from some games I played in the past.
This looks like one that should be on my radar.
It looks really good, like from the video. So I'm glad to hear that it plays good as well.
Yes, it definitely does. It's not going to be too easy for people. There's not too much to get lost in. The dungeons are snappy enough where you can just go like an hour or two at a time. It's not you have to, you know, slog your way through anything to succeed. It's just a well-paced, well-done game so far. And that was all I had to say about that. There was one of the demos I checked out was actually I looked after, not something we're talking about in the news, but was still odd enough that I wanted to bring it up briefly here. It's called Miracle Magical Quest. And I'm just bringing it up on my end for refresher as well.
Tobin Club Presents.
That's a great
company. That sounds like a developer you should be following, Kelly.
Yeah.
Mirage Miracle Quest, sorry. And yeah, it's just so cutesy that I didn't really know what to expect from it.
Oh, it's a magical girl transformation game.
But yeah. With cat.
Yeah, it's Sakura. I've seen
that trailer.
It's Cardcaptor Sakura, but a kitty.
Yeah.
It is. Yes. Literally is. Okay. I might have to and pick you get, this up too.
You got it plays out a bit more like a typical RPG rather than a card builder or deck builder, but I could see it gaining more of variety as it goes on. I only played that like half hour of the demo. You had five skills you could pick from that are active skills. You pick one of them as a favorite, so it always stays in your hand. So you're really only rotating between four. And your defense will also add some like buffs, debuffs, stuff like that based on the character and possibly what you have equipped or like armor and going from that. It is just very low stakes feeling game, at least at the beginning, because, you know, I went into a spot and it was you had to clean a person's room who was just while you're cleaning their room, you're fighting trash bags and they're daydreaming about speed running their chores so they can play more pressure wash simulator.
Okay, like, so you are in this game, Kelly.
Yeah, I feel called out. What's the name of this again?
Mirage
Miracle Quest.
Yes,
because I do believe I have it wishlisted. Because we had a trailer on it at some point.
Well, that yes. And it has a cat.
Well, yeah.
So it's not out yet. It's just a demo.
Yeah. It was like Kelly was mentioning, a game that was just past the usual, this is what we're going to discuss in news this week, I'll play some demos, or it was just like it was just past or just about to be mentioned. And because I think they had a trailer come out possibly at one of the events before the Game Awards, like one of the indie events there, which I haven't been able to watch all of, but I just saw how like adorably precocious everything was, and yeah. I was like, you know, this seems like something I want to check out and see if this actually plays okay. And it played okay.
If you like the stuff they're doing in the trailer here, make sure, if you've never watched Cardcaptor Sakura, go watch that anime because it's amazing, adorably
cute.
I've
never watched it.
Cuteness overload.
But do not watch Cardcaptors.
No, don't watch the English dub. Yeah.
No, you can watch the English dub. Do not watch the version.
Oh,
that
is
was
there
on
another
TV.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, wasn't that a 4Kids joint?
Sure was. They ruined it.
I don't think that was 4Kids actually.
Mato-chan.
No, the problem was they were trying to.
No, it was. Okay. It doesn't matter.
While they're looking that up, I'll also mention a possible trigger warning for some people. But I thought enough time has passed, it's good for me. The main character does talk about a relationship they had with their grandmother who passes away before the start of the game. So they keep making references to their grandmother. In the first 10 minutes, they already had a flashback to how close their bond was. So it was heartwarming to see that, and it'll always be an easy way into my books because I had a very close relationship with my grandma.
I just realized, yeah, like Sakura is like a cozy anime before cozy was like a term for things.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's the original two seasons, and then way, 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 way later, there's a third season.
Yeah, that happens.
That happens, yeah. Because people go back and add manga later, and so then they're like, oh, we'll anime it later.
Chris, if you ever want to have a laugh, look up the somebody did a parody of what a 4Kids version of Evangelion would look like, or the intro. That is some funny stuff.
I will have to watch that later.
I mean, do note, a lot of... I actually read an interview with one of their translators, and a lot of the time, some of the issue, some of the stuff they did in those was because they were forced to make those changes to get it to air.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. 4Kids
has bigger issues than that.
Had.
Yeah.
They are defunct.
Yeah.
No, I am aware of some of the stuff that they had to deal with, but some of the other stuff was just like adding annoying background music to everything. Come on.
I mean, it can't be any worse than Initial D changing out all the Eurobeat for rap.
Yeah, that's just a crime.
I'm not making this up, by the way.
No, I know. I
was more saying that for Chris, because Chris probably had no idea. Oh, huzzah!
Yes.
Oh, I don't know when it happened. I was just going through my wish list on Steam, but apparently English subtitles were added to the PC version of the Goblin Slayer game at some point. I've been waiting on that one. Cool. Carry on.
Is that everything of everyone's been playing?
I think so.
Until we get to the news demos.
Yes. Can we get to the news?
All right. Well, I guess it's feedback time. So feedback this week, we asked, what's a budget game you would recommend that's under $20? And we only had one response on our Discord from Livy, which is, RPG cast feedback. Sorry, folks. I know I am probably cutting it close with the submission. It was posted at 7:45 this morning. I let them know the only cutoff is when we start. but wanted to ask if there are any announcements from the Game Awards that you are excited about, RPG or not. For me, I was really stoked that Blizzard shadow dropped the Paladin for Diablo 4. And I've been enjoying the class so far. It's kind of busted and gives off early Spiritborn vibes. They let you stack auras currently, and I'm enjoying that before it gets nerfed. The Paladin is a preview for the major class reworks that are coming with Lord of Hatred in April. The class is very fleshed out and well developed in ways the others currently are not. So,
hey, that's good news.
Feedback for you, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I just downloaded Diablo 4. I might jump in and do that.
I literally just took it off my PC because I know, right? To free up space. Oh well.
Back and forth.
I currently have it. Nothing. I actually don't even own Diablo 4, but I have like nothing installed. So
I have a lot less room than you would expect on my computer. Like even if I had nothing installed on it, I only have 512 gigabyte hard drive.
Well, you also call a computer. What you call a computer is a laptop, Dalandar.
Yes.
Yeah, that's laptops a laptop.
Laptops are computers.
Mm-hmm. No, a laptop's a laptop. I know they are technically computers, but
Technically, technical computers are the best kind of computers.
Mm-hmm. Get it right. It's a notebook.
It's a netbook. Remember netbooks?
Oh, yep, I had one, or I have one, because at the time it was cheaper than a tablet.
If you would like to write in and have your feedback read on the show, you can go to our YouTube, Discord, I don't know, wherever else we're taking feedback, the show article, or the show comments, rather, on the website, and then answer this question. Tell us about your holiday presents.
Because we're not back for 4 weeks.
Just to quickly answer Livy's question as well.
Right.
I would say Fate of the Old Republic was probably one of my most intrigued from the Game Awards.
I know. I feel bad about it because it's nothing more than a teaser trailer, and I shouldn't let myself get hyped about it, but I loved KOTOR so much.
It's not going to be good. You know
this. I know. It made, who knows? It was just like a sizzle reel. There was no gameplay. There's nothing, but you know.
Casey Hudson is back for it, which is a big deal.
That helps.
Yeah, the only
it's not being developed by BioWare. There's a chance. It's not being published by EA. EA, there's an even better chance.
Yeah.
The only two for me is Warlock, the Dungeons and Dragons Warlock,
yeah,
and Mega Man.
I am beside myself with excitement for the Control sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else see that?
I saw it, of course. That is hard pass because we all know I don't do the spoopies.
I don't think Control is that spoopy. It's more SCP.
It's more...
also action RPG.
Yeah. It looks spoopy enough for me.
Okay, then. Yeah, if you can't handle like the weird scratchy voice, then yeah, that would take you out of it. But like, okay, hold on. The Control thing was, I think I got a spoiler because people told me who you were playing as in this one.
Well, yeah,
because I haven't finished the first one, and now I'm like, that makes sense.
That's called
No Law. I was also interested in.
That's called a late arrival spoiler.
Yeah,
kind of like how the cover of Death Stranding 2 probably spoils the first game.
Mm. Revealing it as a walking simulator? Or?
No.
Oh.
By having there be a toddler? Because I imagine that there was something about the baby in the first game.
The baby's in the second game too, though. So, like, I don't know what... I have not...
I'm not gonna go Prime or Metroid M now.
No,
we don't want to do Death Stranding, Kelly. We don't want to do that. Okay, we don't have the mental energy for a Kojima story right now.
I'm happy that the second Control game isn't going to be confined to just the first house.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Like, let's go new places.
And I'm also wondering what kind of sick psychic abilities the main character is going to have. Because that was my favorite thing about the first game, was just how powerful you could get with your telekinesis.
Uh-oh.
So that's what I was excited for.
Back to KOTOR excitement, I'm going to read you a comment from Reddit.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
From people... The first comment is, I've been burned too many times. I will not believe a single word of this until I actually see it release, which is to say they don't believe that the KOTOR remake will ever actually see the light of day. And then one comment to that is, hey, remember 1313? Hey, remember Imperial Commando? Hey, remember Battlefront 3? Hey, yeah. Remember Eclipse? Hey, remember the KOTOR remake?
Are we saying that Star Wars games have a history of disappointment?
Yeah. Answer, not disappointment.
Not even being released.
Yeah, disappointment.
They've announced a new Star Wars game to cancel. No,
you can't be a disappointment. You can't be a disappointment that it never releases, but you can't be disappointed in the end product if you've never even played it. I say releasing is a different kind of disappointment.
Yeah, if it's not out, I can't say it was a bad game. I could say
Galaxy Brain stuff there.
Yeah. It's not a bad game if it never existed.
Maybe even a galaxy far, far away.
It's not a Galaxy Brain. It's dude tapping the side of his head. It's the gotcha guy. Like,
I was making a Star Wars reference.
I know you were. And it was a good reference.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Props.
All right. Oh, man.
Are we ready for news?
Yes.
Yeah.
Idea Factory announced that Calamity Angel Special Delivery is also shipping to PC. So this is supposed to come out in English on February 17th, and they announced a PC release via Steam.
But just sometime in 2026. Sometime later.
So I don't know if this will be a bad Idea Factory game.
Are there good ones?
Yeah.
Like?
Yeah.
Mary Skelter?
Death and Drake Quest?
Hmm.
Put it this way. We have a sequel podcast for our bad Idea Factory show.
Aren't all the Neptunia games Idea Factory? People love those? Yeah.
So.
I played that one with
Barry Fencer, Dark Horse.
The one with the story I don't really understand and couldn't be bothered to finish. Yeah, that one.
That one was supposedly better than Kemco.
And that one has a sequel done by Sting.
Sting is basically just a subsidiary of Idea Factory.
No! Okay. That feels like an insult.
They co-develops everything that's for Idea Factory. They haven't really done anything outside
I mean, if Sting isn't getting other people publishing, because I know Atlas used to do a lot of Sting stuff.
Do we care about Calamity Angels? Nobody seems to know what the story is.
I mean, I don't care. You have me on this podcast.
It looks cute. Show me what you got.
Yep.
It could be a decent B game.
This has come up on like 3 or 4 of the times I'm on this podcast, and it only frustrates me because there is no demo for it. I'm like, can I at least play this game so I can talk about it already?
It doesn't even have a actual release date on Steam, so it might be a while.
Moving on, Tainted Grail, the Fall of Avalon Sanctuary of Sarus expansion is launching next week.
This game looks a lot different than I expected. I thought the King Arthur games were tactical card games, but apparently this is a Skyrim-like.
So many
This is the Oblivion slash Skyrim spinoff of the deck builder. Tainted Grail Conquest. I've played and reviewed Tainted Grail Conquest, and when I saw this, I'm like, someone's going to be interested in this. We have a review that was done. I believe we gave it a 3.5 out of 5 on the base form of this game, and it's something that I wish more people would take a look at this than some of the Obsidian games and stuff like that out there, because it looks interesting. I just haven't been able to get around to playing it myself.
Fair enough. This expansion is $15 and is going to be released on December 15th for PC, PS5, and Xbox. Anything else we want to know?
Is it good?
What's in the expansion? More stuff.
More stuff!
Got it. Thank you. It
says around 15 hours of new content. So you can read the specific stuff on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, Kingdoms Return, Time Eating Fruit, and the Ancient Monster announced for April. That's a title. What is this about? You're controlling one of 4 characters, and they're seeking to rebuild a kingdom. And I see nothing in the description about fruit nor a monster.
From what I've gathered, it's Inti Creates' version of ActRaiser.
Yeah, okay. It's got town building in it. Ooh. That's the big thing.
You've got my attention.
Yeah.
Does it have
kind of cute?
Now, ActRaiser's town building was also accompanied by some of the best music in video gaming. So, like, gotta have both. So,
looks like Metroidvania combat.
Yeah, ActRaiser.
Yeah, this very much ActRaiser.
Yeah, I think taking the ActRaiser combat in the Metroidvania direction is the right way to go. And then, like, have things you develop, like, be abilities you can use to explore and find more things that you can then feed back into your town. Like, that's the loop, right? Instead of what ActRaiser 2 actually did.
So, for those that don't recognize the name Inti Create, they made all of the Mega Man Zeros on the Game Boy Advance.
And
now do the Azure Striker series and the new Blaster Masters.
Don't they also do Mighty Number 9 or no? No, they're the Gun Striker. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and Gal Guardians was another one for the Tam Lake out there.
So I'd say that they have a pretty decent pedigree when it comes to what you would call it.
Yeah, I just want to know if this
side scrollers.
Yeah, I want to know if this is good.
Mighty
but
Number
like,
Nine
it looks all right.
Was one of the developers, or Inti Creates was one of the developers of Mighty Number Nine. It
was he worked
Inti
with them.
Creates yeah. and Concept.
And Concept was the Mega Man guy, and Inti Creates was the Gun Striker, whatever.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Does anyone else feel like this looks like a Game Boy game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they did the Mega Man Zero series for all the game for the Game Boy Advance. So
and the Z and ZX.
I'm just like, why stick with that aesthetic when you're not making a Game Boy
they're
game at this kind point,
of,
but
that's kind of their aesthetic for all their games, man.
Yeah, all right, fine. I mean, that's what their art department makes, then like that's what we got to do.
Company's like, been around for however many years. It's working.
Right. The first game I found on their wiki page was 1998.
It's like, I just want this art style, but scaled up a little. I don't know what I'm looking for. Like, the town building bugs me because it looks like a SNES. And I'm like, we can do a little better and still be evoking this aesthetic. And I know I'm not the game developer and I should shut up, but like, something about this bugs me. Like, we could do more detail here and still look like a
spend
pixelated
thousands
thing.
Of more dollars on it.
Sure, that's nothing for game development.
I mean, some people like the Game Boy aesthetic.
Yeah, all right. It's just a little flat to me.
I've said this before. You know how some of these indie studios, when they do pixel art, it looks off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't look like how it should look like. That this aesthetic doesn't have that vibe to me.
This looks like how it used to look like. And I'm like, yeah, and that's the other good. Direction. That's fine. But I want something that evokes what it used to look like, but looks like what we can do now. But I'm in the minority here, so I'm going to
There's
shut
a large segment of nostalgic gamers that just would be playing the Game Boy game anyway.
Yeah.
So
no, yeah.
Something that looks like it might as well.
I can't get my... I need to do retro stuff. Why am I making this about me? I'm sorry, folks. But
we got
me,
a lot of news, Chris.
Yeah, all right. Sorry. What's next?
Mandrake introduces the Yolth.
What the heck are you talking about?
Those were some words.
Zoom tight.
During the Wholesome Snack Showcase, Fallbetter Games released a new trailer for its upcoming rural life sim, Mandrake.
Okay, so this looks like a Harvest Moon made with a more modern game engine with lots of background assets and like kind of floaty walking around in front of it. And then
see this on one of those indie live streams?
Yeah, I think that's what. First... Yeah, that's what they just said. Yeah.
Not the Indie Live Expo that Tam's referencing.
Oh, one of the things you did at night? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not the last one. I think it was the one before that.
Oh,
it?
They've got a Totoro in here.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the Yolth.
The Yolth. It looks like Totoro.
Yeah.
With horns.
So is this what you're looking for when you say you want it to not quite look the same as a Game Boy Advance? Because this is kind of PS2.
I mean, but well, this is a different aesthetic altogether. Like, this is like they've got fancy water graphics with like plain wood textures for floor. Like, I don't know. It's weird. This has the thing where it's got parts of the aesthetic and models don't mesh with each other, which is okay because they're kind of going for that watercolor fantasy on top of a background. I don't know what's going on. This is a storybook. It's evoking storybook, and it's doing that well. And I'll just, that's good.
Okay.
I don't like something about it, but I can't put my finger on what, and I need to talk to an artist for a while to figure out how to express this. It looks cool. They show off the character in the game. Like, is there anything else to know? Like, when's this out? We don't know.
Article doesn't say. It's planned to release in Steam Early Access at some point. And I guess the Yolth is a character that only accepts cash. So
yeah,
I guess he's your Tom Nook.
I don't know.
Basically. Sounds like it.
And he looks like, unlike Tom Nook, he looks like he could kill you in your sleep.
Or eat you.
Yeah. So
gonna eat you.
I just appreciate the developer's name is Fallbetter Games.
Wait a second. So the Yolth is this big thing that looks like Totoro with some creepy horror elements tossed in. But the when you talk to it, it just says Yolth, like it's Groot. And then the crow translates for you.
I mean, that's kind of funny.
I like it, yeah.
The crow's actually just taking money. The elf's just chilling.
Maybe it's the crow that's the real brains of the operation.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, Vargas, the Riven Realms at the Heart of Ruin DLC is coming to Switch, specifically on December 22nd.
I think it's Vagris.
Vagrus? What did I say? Vagrus?
You said Vargas because Vargas. That's oh. where you'd expect the R to be in that word, but it's
yeah,
not.
That was me having a dyslexia yeah. moment. Vagrus. This DLC had previously been on the other systems, and it is now coming to the Switch.
Game.
Turn-based dark fantasy RPG. Okay. Released in 2021.
Okay, here we go. And now we've got a... We've got tabletop kind of aesthetic and stats and storybook selections.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, and then a side view battle system that's kind of like...
It looks fun. Also, Mega Man like something Network. That I'd buy for like $10 on sale one time and be like, oh, I own this, and play it for a while and go, this was fun.
Cool. So this is coming
Never
on Switch
play it again.
In a week or so. Cool.
Avaloth, the Champions of the Four Kingdoms version 1.2 is available. Sorry, the kitten walked across my keyboard and messed up my whole tab system. This update titled Balefire adds a new campaign, new locations, and more.
That looks like something Chris would play.
Was this one you ever ended up picking up, or did it just fall off the radar after it came out?
I didn't know. I don't even remember this game.
Yeah, I don't think he knew about this one.
We have, it has come up before.
The name looks familiar. The game doesn't. And I agree. Yeah. This looks like it's kind of in that Diablo world, but it looks real awkward and weird.
What? So right up your alley.
Yeah. I haven't seen the skill tree. Is the skill tree big enough for me? I don't know. There's a lot of action RPGs nowadays. I can't keep up. I can't even keep up with the ones that keep updating themselves. Like, how am I? It's not fair. I want more time. No. I'm sorry. I'm doing it again. I'm sorry. No, I'm doing it again. Yep.
Be careful what you wish for.
Try liking most of these games and see how it's like.
Are we ready to move on, or did you need to know more information?
I need to know how much it is.
It is
a free update.
Does not say. Oh, okay. Free update.
It was in the trailer.
Okay.
Cool.
Currently on sale for about $18 US.
The game is $21 on my screen.
It's 21. It's 23 Canadian, so I was just
very confused. I see. I can get it with some other game and get it bundled and say, because I already own the other game.
Vaughn, can you jangle a toy or something to come attract your kitten upstairs? She is getting on my nerves. She already got into the basket, which you don't want her to get into, so I put it on the floor, and now she's mad that I put it on the floor and is now trying to sabotage my computer.
Toy jangled appears to be ineffective.
Real life cat Pokemon seems to be more distracting than a lot of the news so far. That's unfortunate.
This cat Pokemon, actually, I know exactly what I can do to distract her. Somebody read the next story.
Yeah. Nipponichi Software has announced Curse Warrior, which is a...
I wish they had a demo for this, because unironically, this is basically my game of the Game Awards.
It's a dungeon crawler. It's set to release in Japan in March, and you try to balance curses that the dungeon will inflict on your party.
Yeah, it's a combination of Dungeon Crawler and Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, no thank you.
Anime Darkest Dungeon, I want it.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm...
The art's good.
I'm a down dar.
I like this art versus what we do get in Darkest Dungeon, which I know probably is offensive to some people who are like, everything's anime art. Like, well, deal with it.
I mean, she had boobs.
But this is not... We don't know if it's coming out here or when, so this is pretty early.
It's going to eventually. It's Nippon Ichi.
Not all.
Man, you can kill this rat.
They do have a few games that never come out.
There is a land shark. That's creepy.
Yes.
Anyway, so you're exploring, you're opening chests, you're getting cursed, so your character, you have to deal with either healing them or working around the curses, and I'm sure your character's going to die and have to be replaced, because if they're going for that freaking Darkest Dungeon vibe, that's how that works, right?
Yeah, this is anime Darkest Dungeon.
And yes, I'm probably the only Darkest Dungeon fan on the podcast, at least today, for sure. But
I own it. I just haven't played it.
Again, late March in Japan for PlayStation and Switch.
Game looks kind of cool.
You know what else looks cool? More Monster Hunter updates.
Oh. What you find this time? Need them.
So this is title update 4, which I think is out now, right? Yeah.
I think so.
And like they added, you know, more monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how that works. They add, like, you know, you put out a title update, you do some rebalancing, you add a monster or two, and then like you can go fight that monster or two. And like, yeah. Or you know what you can do? Keep waiting, because they keep announcing, they put a big announcement out about like, here's our roadmap for all performance updates and fixes we need to do, which tells me one of two things, which I'm going to say both, which will result in us really not having any information at all because we don't know. But it tells me either A, they're done adding content and now are just trying to cap off finishing the performance update so they can move on to their next game, or B, They finally got enough feedback and are listening to fan feedback about how the performance really needs to be improved. And so they're making a game plan and making it happen finally. And then they can add more content after that. But we don't really know which.
Do you think we're going to get a Switch 2 version of this at some point?
I think we would. Yeah. Once the expansion or whatever they'll do for this hits. Yeah. I think that's when you'd get that.
Okay.
Which that would also explain the performance improvements and why they're focusing on it.
Because playing the first Rise in bed and or on the couch was kind of nice.
Mm. Now, there's also Monster Hunter Stories 3 news here, right?
Ooh.
Let's see. There? Yeah. I just don't know what it is. It exists. I thought there was more. I know there's more about it, but I guess we don't have it in this story, and I don't have the article handy that I saw the other day, but there's like another thing coming. There's like news on their battle system, some new element to their battle system in the third one, because if you recall, the Monster Hunter Stories battle system is kind of just rock, paper, scissors, and so adding some new elemental stuff in
You can target specific monster parts. Is that new?
I
didn't play 2, so sure. I don't know if they added it in there or not. But
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it was in there, but to be honest, I'm not sure.
I just did a quick search for if there's things new in Monster Hunter Stories 3, and that's one of the new focus on targeting specific monster parts. Like, is that new, or was that they made it better?
In 3, you get to you're a wildlife preserve. You hatch monsters, raise them, and then release them back in the wild to improve the ecosystem. Like,
so basically, you're a zookeeper.
You know, I feel like that's the antithesis of the point of Monster Hunter, but I'm still down.
These
for
games
it.
Do not match. Like, I'm very confused that they have never. Okay, now look at this screen. If you've got the stream up, look at this. Somebody is hatching 10 monster eggs at once. Like, Monster Hunter Stories 3 has literally got the. This is a gacha pull in the game, right? This is a gacha pull, but like, it's not a gacha game. So what is going on?
I mean, the other games were like kind of like that too. You'd get eggs and bring them back to your base to hatch them.
So it sounds like the monsters have now dual element possibilities. So like tend to have an element like fire, poison, lightning, stuff like that. And then this is going to, they can also be hatched and come out with the element of the area they are from as well. And so the dual elements, and how's that going to work out? I don't know. Like,
if they want to make a Monster Hunter Stories where you go all in as a zookeeper, raise this from young, and then suddenly a hunter shows up to try attacking it, you have to fight the hunter as a boss, I'm down for that.
That's the part that needs to be reconciled, is like, you've all got right, this whole...
You know, there are the idiots in real life who pay, what, 10 grand to go shoot an elephant in a cage. Yeah, in Africa.
Let's move on, because we do still got a lot of news.
I know.
Like, stupid never dies.
I saw this and I was like, is this by the same people who made Lollipop Chainsaw?
Is it? I don't know. I mean,
it's not.
It isn't.
No.
The female character's name is Julia, which is also the name of the Lollipop Chainsaw character. So I definitely thought this was a sequel for a bit.
Yeah. like, it just, this was such, this is the weirdest trailer, I think, from the whole award show. It was just so, yeah.
So my understanding is, like, you're a zombie, your girlfriend isn't, something happens to her, and you have to go save her. Yep. And the trailer for this is you two singing together in a music video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also does not eat humans.
Right.
Because oh, okay. This is another one of those that's where it's funded by NetEase.
Oh, okay.
The main developer is one of the people who was in Capcom, but left.
Yeah. Took the NetEase money to start a separate studio. Yeah.
So why is it called Stupid Never Dies?
Because you're playing the zombie.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You're the stupid one, and you're a zombie. Okay. Yeah,
basically.
You can also turn into a werewolf, I guess?
Yeah, that is a thing, too. And summon suicide zombies?
Yeah.
It's as I said, I saw this whole thing, I was like, is this by the same people who made Lollipop Chainsaw? Because it's just... really has that whole style going. Just
got it.
I mean, am I wrong?
I don't that know. I didn't play that. It. So
that and Grasshopper Manufacture, but you know, you don't always want to work with the guy who made more heroes. So
I can't even read the name of the studio. GP Track 50. Like, I don't know what's going on.
GP Track.
Okay. Kelly, there's a new control announced.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize we had a story about that.
An RPG.
Is?
Yes.
I guess.
It, even on the Steam page, Remedy is calling it an action RPG.
Was the first one?
No. And it does not have any tags, user or otherwise, saying RPG. So there's going to be mechanics that are RPG in this.
In I guess
you're trusting the Steam tags.
I'm trusting Remedy.
I guess you're going to be able to level up your powers or something. I don't know.
I saw this trailer and I was like, this is weird. This is a weird trailer. And then I heard the scratchy voice. I'm like, oh, this is a control game.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard that voice, I'm like, oh, it's the weird things from Control that tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Scratchy voice means control game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I swear I saw Alan Wake in there.
Well, yeah, I know. That's where I first started. Like, oh, is this like an Alan Wake game? And then the scratchy voice is like, it's a control game, but they're the same studio, so it could be both, you know?
It's interesting because Alan Wake 1 was just kind of a cheesy horror movie. Alan Wake 2 was like crap your pants scary.
I mean, and these are all in the same universe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Remedyverse, I guess.
Yeah, because the Bureau of Control was basically X-Files.
Hard pass.
X-Files, except...
too spoopy for me.
X-Files?
X-Files plus Men in Black?
Yeah, because there's a little bit more SCP capture and contain element to control, you know? And yeah. X-Files is just like, did that happen? I don't know. You can't prove it. No one will believe you. Like, all right, cool. Did we help somebody? I don't know. Maybe we're still alive. All right, cool. What's up? A new monster. Oh, okay, cool. And there's a dude smoking cigarettes over there. That was my summary of X-Files for you, by the way.
And the three nerds?
Sure.
Well, next up, we've got Claire Obscure Expedition 33 receives free thank you update to celebrate Claire Obscure Expedition 33 appearance at the Game Awards, which they like rolled.
They won everything they were nominated for except two categories.
Sandfall Interactive and Kepler Interactive released their free update for the game. It includes a new playable environment, boss challenges, and more.
The update is good.
I have not. I'm as I said, I'm installing things. I did reinstall Claire Obscure, so I do want to get back into this. And do some of the post update. I may do a new game plus run just so I can get more Pictos stuff, because they've added new Pictos. One of the things on this new update is they allowed you to store up to 50 Pictos settings.
Yeah, that's a welcome change.
You can also take photos.
Because having to constantly swap them out for different situations was a pain.
Photo mode seems pretty in-depth.
Yeah. So.
Best indie game.
Yes.
Sorry.
Nioh 3 to me. Getting new demo in January.
Code Neo. Tecmo. Neo. Not Nioh.
Oh, it's Neo?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Neo.
Nioh 3 getting new demo in January. Koei Tecmo and Team Ninja announced a new demo for Nioh 3 will arrive next month. The action RPG is available to pre-order now ahead of its February launch.
It's a new homework assignment for you, Dalinar.
Yep, I played the first demo of it when we covered it around like July or so. I really enjoyed how different the Samurai Ninja felt, so I'm curious to see how well that gets.
What is a Samurai Ninja? That's, you can't be both.
Samurai and Ninja, two separate, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Your character can be, you swap on the go between the two classes. Samurai plays like Nioh and Nioh 2, while Ninja is a lot more speed-based. So it's almost like two different gameplay styles in one game, which I thought was really cool.
So Celesta 2 gets March early access launch date. Tactical Adventures and Kepler Interactive announced a March release date for the Steam early access version of Celesta 2. The company's also revealed a few more members of its lead voice cast.
I don't like that they're launching into early.
Ben Starr.
I don't like that they're launching into early access because, like, this game has already been in development for forever. Like, why isn't it just like Lisa 1.0?
The quote unquote good CRPGs all release in early access, though. Unless you're Owlcat, in which case you just give me PTSD.
Well, I mean, that's early access too, but the traditional way of just not working.
Yes, which was an Owlcat.
Does. Yeah.
Yeah, they re. Well, I mean, they'll fix it over time.
Of course.
Yes.
Or it could just be like Bethesda and get the fans to fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, what I gathered from this is I should play Celesta 1.
I don't think they're tied together, are they?
No, it's, other than development. So it's basically like
no, even the battle system seems different. Like, it's not tactical, fair. But like not okay. In the same way it looks. I don't know.
Noted.
Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic announced. Lucasfilm Games and Arkanaut Studios revealed Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic. Still early in development, the game's creation is being led by Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic and Mass Effect Trilogy director Casey Hudson.
Is it sad I could hear the trumpets in the opening song here, and or was it strings? Whatever it was. The main instruments of the music. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's a Star Wars game.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just know.
You just know.
Like you have a few notes of synth and like, I don't know what this is. And then all of a sudden the strings hit and you're like, oh, that's John Williams. It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so this is a new KOTOR game and
gonna be action RPG.
It looks like Rey to me, but I guess it isn't because it's set in the Old Republic, which means it's a bazillion years ago. And it's got Casey Hudson who like directed the Mass Effect games. The first three, not Andromeda.
And KOTOR.
KOTOR 1? Yeah.
1, yes, not 2. 2 right, was
right.
Obsidian.
Right, because yep. He was, yeah. And so this is back for this, and I was like, cool. And I would say, like, oh, it's going to be good then, except he also did Mass Effect 3, which is like,
I like Mass Effect
3. I'm sure you do, yeah. Okay.
What point, though, was the EA oversight causing problems in the creative process? Which I'm not saying this is going to be good. It could very easily be a Callisto Protocol situation.
I guess what I'm saying is the gameplay is probably going to be pretty great. I have no idea how the story and writing is going to go. And
yeah.
If that'll land
fair,
or not.
That's a fair thing. Yeah.
Because that's what, that I mean, the people who like were writing that stuff left around the time of Mass Effect 2 coming out, right? So that was part of the problem with those.
Which was part of where you see the difference between Mass Effect 2 and 3, yeah.
Yeah. Larian Studios announces Divinity. Larian Studios announced its first title following Baldur's Gate 3. Divinity will see the studio return to the fantasy series of the same name.
So we knew this was going to happen because they told us we're going back to doing our own stuff. What we didn't know for sure was like what sort of stuff they're going to do. And so what they showed us was a trailer that was basically Wicker Man. And then
it was pretty freaky.
Yeah, and then at
Cage
the end,
Wicker
it's,
Man.
Yeah, and then at the end, so there's
not
this.
The bees?
Yeah, not the bees. Sorry. There were no bees, but you could. There was a scene where you could straight up say not the bees, and then like at the end of this terrible celebration that goes real demonic and weird, there's this hell statue that apparently is a thing that Larian has been posting somewhere. Like, I don't know where it came from.
They put it out in the desert in California.
Okay.
Like
so
Death
like
Valley. Yeah.
All right. Well, now this is where it comes from. It's in this new game, which I guess it's a new telling of Divinity from the beginning. Like it's
I thought it was a continuation, if I remember right.
I thought it was a redo. Like it's kind of a reboot of Divinity 1.
I have no clue.
All right. Well, either way.
It's just, I just knew that this particular trailer was kind of freaky. And why are they just calling it Divinity? Why not? Because if it's...
Because they're starting fresh. That would make sense if they're trying to start Divinity over again.
Yeah.
So it's not, that means, it's important to realize that means, well, we don't know for sure, because we got no gameplay. But if they're calling it Divinity and not
I'm
Divinity...
I'm going off of our news post.
What? Oh, I wasn't saying.
Does it require past experiences with previous Larian titles? Though that those that played Original Sin and Original Sin 2 will enjoy greater understanding and continuity.
Will they? Okay. So then I don't. That sounds like a follow up rather than a remake. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
If they call it just Divinity and like we're starting over from scratch, that would make a lot more sense of why you're calling it just Divinity. And then we would know it's probably going to be an action RPG instead of a tactical RPG, like the Divinity Original Sins were.
Well, without gameplay, we won't know.
You're right.
Unless so how they address the story, I haven't played the first two. They mention it's going to be bigger than Baldur's Gate 3, but that could go in a lot of different directions. I got a lot of like Diablo almost vibes from this. So if Original Sin 1 and 2 don't really go into the God's aspect, and it's just people going like, we have sinned, and this is actually the God coming down. That's why you could call it Divinity. The sins have been done, and now this is like
again, you know, at this point, all we have is this trailer. That's all we have.
There is a lot I could say, but if you go read the Divinity lore, what you said is kind of not right, but like also kind of right. It's about it's about a person becoming divine. Generally in the Divinity games, so whatever. Like then Divinity 2
crafting is great.
I didn't finish Divinity Original Sin 2, so like I don't know where they end up. But like you do interact with like the person who should be incarnate of the divine in Divinity Original Sin 2, but I don't know all the story stuff there.
Next up is the shooter RPG No Law announced.
Okay.
Krafton Inc. announced first-person open-world shooter RPG No Law. The game is being created by the Ascent developer Neon Giant for PC and consoles. I saw this. I thought this was like very cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Definitely has that feel.
Yeah.
Especially
I'm interested in it because I... You know, it's kind of like you're basically one man against the city that has basically gone to crap.
Open world shooter RPGs are a soft spot. Right?
There's gameplay in this trailer somewhere.
Yeah, there's gameplay later. Yeah, it's a first person shooter.
Shooting. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No thanks.
I'm interested. Well,
are there emails? That's the real question. No, this doesn't look like a sneak around read emails game.
No. Definitely. I mean, maybe a little bit, but yeah, it's basically one man against the city type of thing. So next up is the new not Yakuza game from series creator Toshihiro Nagoshi, Gang of Dragon. Nagoshi's new game that he's making with money from Chinese developer NetEase. Kind of is a new Yakuza game.
Yeah, it's a Yakuza game. At least from what they show. We don't know anything about the game, what the gameplay is going to look like, but I mean, all you get is just like a movie trailer with a guy being a badass. He's getting stabbed, and then it just kind of cuts to, you know, like some guys coming and threatening him, and he's just, you know, like totally nonplussed. So it very much has the Yakuza kind of vibe.
I have a question. So Negoshi's a guy who was the director of the Yakuza series for forever, for like the first five or six games.
Yeah.
And then he left the studio that makes Yakuza games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he started in a new studio.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making what looks to be a Yakuza game?
Yes.
Yes.
So why did he start a new studio to do the same thing?
I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Better creative control?
Yeah.
Of his own studio?
See, that's the thing. He was already, I mean, maybe it was he wanted to get back to making games, because by the end of it, he was like a VP at Sega and was like kind of more higher up. So, I don't know.
I have heard that before, where sometimes because they've been promoted so much in the company, they no longer have like the hands-on, and they want to, and they do this to get back with the hands-on of making the game.
He named the company after himself, though.
That was the problem with the Mega Man director, wasn't it? Where he had gotten so high up that he couldn't really work on Mega Man games.
Yeah.
Also, is that Benedict Wong as the main character?
No, it's Boon's. His Don first name's Boon. He's from Train to Busan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked him up. I'm like, is that the guy from Train to Busan? I'm like, oh, it is. But I don't know his name offhand.
I don't know that movie. But okay,
it is a Korean zombie movie.
Yeah.
Oh, look, and it's this guy here. That's the character we just saw. Ma Dong Suk.
It kind of does look. Oh yeah, it is
South Korean American actor. Okay, cool.
He's been in games that before, so like I'm pretty sure he did the motion capture for it. Like it, I would be surprised if it wasn't him.
I mean, that is his face. So like, yes, I mean, that is him.
That's his Instagram sharing it. So that's him.
Yeah, it's on his Instagram. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
One thing to try saying about why he would leave for part of the creative control aspect, I'm an outsider looking. I haven't really played a Yakuza, but I got more Sleeping Dogs vibes from Gang of Dragons. So maybe he wants to be able to have melee and gun action.
You can say you got Sleeping Dogs vibes, but like it wasn't in that trailer. That trailer was Yakuza vibes. Like you got maybe the city felt like a different setting than Japan, but like I didn't see anybody kicking someone off a motorcycle and then getting on the motorcycle and driving around.
Well, we didn't even mention the end of the trailer is him walking underneath the Kabuchiko sign. So it's just like completely
wait, what?
Almost like a reference to Kemarochiro.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Never mind. He's just making a Yakuza game. I don't understand what's happening and why.
Yeah, I was stunned at the end of it. Just like, oh, yeah, we're totally just referencing, you know, the most iconic image of Yakuza. What do you think of? You think of the entrance sign to Kabuchiko. Yeah.
So I guess we're moving into new releases.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We're just skipping over everything else. Right.
No, there's nothing else. There's new release dates section of the story. So okay, like, yeah. Cassette Boys
come release dates.
Yeah, let me hit you up with these. I can help you. So we got Pocket Pair Publishing and Wonderland Kazakiri announced puzzle RPG Cassette Boy will be released for PC on January 15th on Steam. There's currently a demo. It'll also be on PlayStation and Xbox and Switch in a later date. Okay. So,
Fun's it takes place where they rotate camera around to complete interesting puzzles.
It takes place in a world where the moon disappears because the main character stopped looking at it. Which what?
Okay.
Yeah. What what you see does not exist is the puzzle idea here. Which this looks more like a puzzle platformer with a unique art style, but I guess it's a puzzle RPG with a unique art style.
So. Apparently, there are battles as well.
Okay. Death Howl is out on PC this week, coming to consoles in February, and there'll be a physical edition for PS5 and Switch in February. So the part coming out this week is Steam and GOG, and This is a lady who goes into the spirit world trying to bring back her dead son, and there's deck combat, and I don't. Oh wow! And it's pixelated and very artsy. You should go check it out and do TRPGs with cards to try and save your kid in creepy pixel graphics.
Similar to a CRPG with story scenes reminding me of stuff from like an old DOS game. And it was isometric before reaching a tactical combat, so it's a little bit of a different way of using the new cards, which are built by creating from materials you get from loot drops.
And it's one of those things where there's like only 8 colors in the palette, and it's really creepy looking pixel graphics, so like, yeah. There's going to be an aesthetic here.
There is an aesthetic
there. Yeah. TMNT Splintered Fate is getting a Switch 2 version next week.
Woohoo.
Okay, cool.
They're charging for this update.
If you already have it, it's $2.49 to upgrade. Weird, but all right, fine, whatever.
Hey, better than the $10.
Yeah.
The upgrade thing on Switch 2 is so weird. It is. Where some of them aren't charging, some of them are tiny, some of them are, you know, 10, 15 bucks.
What do you get for that $250? Higher visual
fidelity.
It scales to 4K, 60 frames per second. You can do the game sharing thing to play with other people, and it supports the weird video voice chat stuff
that no one uses.
Yeah. All right. Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim is getting a Switch. Oh, the Switch 2 is a real boy now. It's getting a Skyrim edition. Woo!
I still want it on my toaster.
I guess Todd Howard realize he hadn't released Skyrim in a while.
So this is, all right. You can buy it straight up on Switch 2 for $60. If you own the anniversary edition of Skyrim on Switch, you get a free update. If you own the original non-anniversary edition on Switch, because yes, the Switch was around long enough to get two different versions of Skyrim. If you have the non-anniversary edition, you can pay $20 to get the Switch and Switch 2 editions unlocked at the same time.
So is this their version of printing money?
Yes.
Just releasing Skyrim forever?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
But they're not going to do it with Starfield.
Good point.
They wanted to.
Nobody's asking for that.
Fairy Tale Dungeons is coming to the Switch alongside a content update on January 7th of 2026. There'll be new unlockable heroes and stuff. And it's a deck-building roguelike based on the Fairy Tale anime, and that's all I know about it. So look forward to that on Switch if you're into that anime and want to play its game.
Fun roguelike.
Is it?
From what I've gathered.
Good.
Michael Ash gave it a good review.
Yeah. Kelly was playing Rune Factory Guardians of Azuma, and now it's coming to more platforms. PlayStation and Xbox.
It'll probably run a little bit better on PlayStation.
What were you playing it on? Switch 2?
Switch 2.
And it's not running well.
In handheld mode, it would take a little bit to render some spots.
Mm, weird.
Or like I'd run up to a frog statue and it just looked like a rock until it would render into a frog statue, for example. It was weird.
Let's see. So what else do we have here? PlayStation and Xbox are the other platforms. On February 13th, you'll get that. System Shock Remake is coming on Switch and Switch 2 next week. Man, once it got Skyrim, everything else can come out here now, too. All right.
Yeah.
$40 on both consoles. I guess you pay once and it unlocks both versions? Or do you,
I guess.
I don't know if it's a different version on each, and then it's, I don't know. Because, you know, we have to ask that question because the Switch 2 upgrade situation and cross-compatibility situation is freaking weird. All right. So, System Shock, and then we got some story details about System Shock, and, like, you're fighting an AI, so, like, deal with it. And I should probably play this at some point, but every time I look at it, I'm like, that looks really old. I don't want to play that.
And that was kind of Sam's review. It still kind of feels old.
But, like, I know it's, like, influenza and stuff, and I should probably...
Yeah.
I mean, I feel obligated to like learn that sort of history stuff, but like maybe if I've played all the BioShock games, I'm good. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just wrong. People are like, no, you got to play. You got to fight Shodan. Like, I don't know.
System Shock has apparently more RPG than BioShock based off the coverage aspect.
Don't feel obligated to play anything. Just play what you want, and as long as you're having fun. And that's the main issue, Chris, is sometimes you're just not having fun with what you play.
Deus Ex Remaster has been delayed. Oh.
Obviously, seriously delayed, because they're refunding even pre-orders.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was going to come out in February, and now it's like, you know what? No. Also, have your money back if you pre-ordered. We'll get back to you on this, okay? What the heck?
Are the people running Asper, like, former Telltale employees or something?
Because... No, I thought the former Telltale employees were making the superhero game.
Yes, but the point that I was bringing up is Telltale managed themselves into the ground, and everything Asper is getting postponed now. Like, they had four games they were making, and all of them have disappeared.
Right, I think it's Aspyr, by the way. But, yeah. Yikes.
They're doing the KOTOR remake, and it just disappeared, too.
Oh, did that disappear? Oh,
that's right.
Wait, really?
Yep. It's, people are wondering if it's
the
canceled,
downfall of Aspyr's KOTOR remake. And now they're going to do a new KOTOR game, so they're not going to do a remake around... Wow. Okay, cool.
So, like, what is this company doing?
Dying. That's what they're doing. That's called dying. Like, you refund everything and say, we'll get back to you. That's not a good sign. Obviously, right? This was the original Deus Ex, by the way, and apparently people didn't like the new graphics, says Chaos in the chat, which...
Yes, yeah, it
did. Fair, but like, you're
awesome, but...
Yeah. I mean, the original graphics were very old, so I don't know what you want. I like the new Deus Ex games, though, so like, I never played the sequel. Why didn't I ever play the sequel?
Isn't that what people have wanted, was the newer Deus Ex with Adam Jensen?
I mean, that's...
I want more of that.
But yes, but that studio's busy making... What are they making now?
What are they making right now?
They're in Square Enix now, and they make...
No,
they're in Embracer.
Oh, is that Crystal Dynamics?
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing the new Tomb Raider.
Yep, and old Tomb Raider, technically.
And old Tomb Raider.
Wait, no, that's not Crystal... No, that's the... No. Human Revolution was not Crystal Dynamics. That was Eidos Montreal.
Does that still exist, or did that one get shut down?
They make... They're still around. They are owned by CDE Entertainment, apparently, for the last 3 years.
Crystal Dynamics.
Grounded.
Oh, no! They are Crystal Dynamics now.
Yep.
Boom!
You got me, Tam.
I'm not going to be that vocal about that I told you so.
So what are they? Okay, in November, Jason, I'm on their Wikipedia. In November of 2022, Jason Schreier says they were in the very, very early development stages of a new Deus Ex game. Blah, 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 blah. Then they had layoffs. Then they had more layoffs. And then they are supporting the development of the upcoming Fable. And then they were announced to be a co-developer for Grounded 2. And... that's the last we heard. So I don't even think they're on the Tomb Raider thing.
No, not Eidos Montreal.
But they
Crystal Dynamics.
They did Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider, apparently. They was supported development for those two. So they did work with them on that. So the idea that they could be involved here and we just don't have the info is possible.
Especially since Crystal Dynamics is the ones doing the new Tomb Raider stuff.
Which, of course, they are, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does sound like this studio supports a lot of people, so they may not be involved in it. They may be doing the other things we just talked about, the Fable and the Grounded 2. So, anyway.
It'll come out one day.
But without them involved, I don't know how you have a Deus Ex, like the newer Deus Exes, but it also sounds like with all those layoffs, I don't know what this company is anymore, so maybe we just can't have that. I don't know if the people who made that game are around anymore. Anyway, so this was a remake of the old Deus Ex. It's been delayed for forever. Aspyr is not doing well, I bet. And we should move on to the next story. Arknights Endfield was... let me give you my impression of this game. Number one, I didn't realize I like One Republic music, but apparently I do, because the song at the trailer was pretty freaking fire. And,
you should hear the one they did for Kaiju Number 8.
Well, apparently I should. I will have to do that. So I love the music on this trailer for Arknights Endfield. I don't know anything about Arknights Endfield, but my impression from the trailer is that in a world with gacha games, you can pull different people with different animal ears and then play whatever the action RPG thing you're doing. So does anyone know more about what's going on? It's a 3D strategy RPG, apparently.
No.
Based off of a property that used to be an RPG tower defense title. But this
it's still in the tower defense title.
Well, that's what Ark Knights is. Yeah, but this is different. This is free-to-play 3D strategy RPG, it says, for PlayStation 5, iOS, Android, and PC.
It looked like it was an action game when we saw the previous trailer.
I thought so, too, but that's not what our story says. And the freaking trailer is just a music video, mostly.
No, we had a different trailer
before. Oh, did we have a different... Well, not in this story.
Yeah, not in this story.
I'm looking at this story's trailer. It's very... if there's gameplay, they didn't show it. But they announced it's coming out in January 22nd of next year, and you can pre-register now. It's going to be free to play. Don't spend your money on this. This is going to be expensive, obviously, but also, Tam, I look forward to your report.
That's if I play this one. Although I did play Ark Knights. I did play a little bit of Ark Knights. It is heavy.
Heavy. So a lot of systems?
Is
it like Where Winds Meets level of menuing?
I'm not talking wrong type of heavy.
Oh.
As in dark?
That type of heavy.
Oh.
It is a dark world. This is a world where catastrophes go through and destroy the world routinely, and cities move to avoid them.
So is this like a Hoyoverse style game?
I don't know about Enfield. Again, I'm just talking about Ark Knights itself.
I'm going to say, though, there's straight up a character here who's a freaking Uma Musume. So she got the horse ears and the tail. Like, I don't... Oh, is this crossover?
All of them do.
Well, they're not...
Like, you have horse girls, you've got owl girls, there's a centaur I have, there's cat girls, wolf boys, cat boys. You and name also, an like, animal, they've made it.
But like, why are they all animal people? What is happening?
That has to do with the issues with the world. They're also very looked at. There's different factions. They are looked down upon and treated very badly in the world by what few humans are left in the world. It's a very bleak world.
How can it be a bleak world when you're full of like anime harem characters?
The world. This is not an anime harem game.
Just go to a space station, get off the planet, and enjoy your anime girls. Like, why is this so hard?
Again, this is not an anime. This is not a harem game.
I'm saying, if the main characters tried hard enough, it could be.
He's not.
I'm not. You're right.
Yeah. Also, side tangent. Did you see that Uma Musume won best mobile game?
I did see that.
Yeah. I appreciate that it lost the Wuthering Waves in mobile game, and Wuthering Waves won player's voice, which means Expedition 33 is lower on the totem pole than Uma Musume. By circle log.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just weird, because you would think that since Wuthering Waves and Uma Musume were up for both the gacha game and probably players and player vote, how did one win versus... Well, never mind. That answers... Yeah. I just answered my own question. The gacha game awards was probably done by the various, you know, IGN vote people, you know?
Yeah. Whereas, and then the players, you know... You know, all the fans in China just got on, logged in, and voted for Wuthering Waves, which, fair. That's how that works.
That's how that works. Okay. Yeah. Answer our own question.
Mm-hmm. Action RPG Phantom Blade Zero is coming out internationally on September 9, 2026. There's a four-minute trailer about it.
It looks like it's a Souls-like.
It'll be on PC and PS5.
It looks good, though. It looks like a
Soul,
very good
Souls-like. The character you play is named Soul.
Will Phantom Blade Zero be on the side of the spectrum of Lost Soul Aside, which didn't do so well, or the Wukong? Is it Wukong?
Yeah, Wukong.
Yeah, that did had Game of the Year aspirations, so it's hard to tell. But a lot of what I've read in regards to this one is they are positioning themselves to try being award bait because they're like, hey, we're going to tell you we're releasing for sure on September 9th.
Like a year next year for PC and PS5. Is this a free-to-play or a action, like full-play, pay-the-money game? What's the opposite of free-to-play? Play-to-free? Pay-to-play?
Pay-to-play.
Pay-to-play? Pay-to-win. Well, technically, you have to pay to win because you can't win if you can't play.
Yeah.
Hmm. 2699. All right, fine. There you go. That's Phantom Blade Zero. You should check it out so you see the trailer because it's a cool looking action RPG, but I can't really describe other than say it's very Souls-like inspired, right? But there was like button press prompts. So is this really Souls-like or is this more QTE, right? Or is it Souls-like and then at certain breakpoints you do QTEs to finish them off and look cool, which I like looking cool. That's nice. Okay. As far as I can tell, like the only thing coming out next week is the stuff we listed earlier, which I've already forgot because I know there were a couple things like this is coming out next week. This is coming out next week. But like there's also something called, oh, that's Japan only. So that's not even here. The TMNT thing is coming out next week. We talked about that. And we have the System Shock remake is coming out for Switch. And it looks like I guess I should go through the end of the year, which doesn't really add many more.
End of the year, like two more days.
I scrolled down past next week. I'm like, oh, that's literally like two more games.
Yeah,
and they weren't even RPGs.
Did you get stunlocked for a second there?
Did I?
It seemed like it.
He was stunned because there was like he went down to the next to see what else there
we
was.
We missed
for
a game,
week,
folks.
There was, like there's nothing.
A game what last we week came out that we didn't talk about for PlayStation. Horses 2025.
Oh, that was the banned Steam game.
Wait, what?
No, different game.
You said horses.
This is Horses 2025.
Wait, what was the banned Steam game?
It was called Horses, and it was set to come out, and then Steam said no, it's too disturbing.
Oh, that game! Wait, really?
Yeah,
both Steam and Epic said no.
I think it's only available on itch.io now.
And GOG.
And GOG.
That's funny. But yeah, it looks very disturbing.
It's very disturbing. It's not. If someone has issues with the way women may be treated,
yeah, no, it's dealing with extremely adult things. Yeah, and I don't know if they do it well. Anyway, no. This is daily grooming sessions to thrilling riding competitions. Perfect your riding abilities and become a true equestrian champion. There's no screenshots or links to this game. Like it's just the. I don't even know if it's like a real game or if it just had an entry in the release calendar for some reason. Let's see. In all serious though, instead of all that, we have anything else that we missed? We talked Path of Exile stuff. That's not really new games. Tomba 2.
Oh.
Yeah,
The Horses 2025 is a real game.
Okay, I look forward to more details on Horses 2025.
It is rating 2.5 right now.
2.5 out of what? 5 or 10? Because it's very different.
2.6 out of 5.
2.6 out of 5
on the PlayStation Store.
Better than I. On the PlayStation Store. Never mind. That's bad on the PlayStation Store. Yeah, you don't. Everything's 5 on the PlayStation Store unless it's bad.
Review bomb.
Udawari Ray Romano Zan for PC and PS4 coming out.
Oh, I think I found a link for you on this.
Oh, we'll get to it later. The Tainted Grail thing we talked about, that expansion's coming out this week. What else we got? Monster Hunter Wilds title update 4. I guess it isn't already out. It's out this week. So, sorry about that. So, this week you can do that title update. We talked about the Turtles game. Pal World is getting a crossover with Ultra Kill?
Huh.
if you want to go back to Pal World, Clover Pit is... No, that's not an RPG. Heart Crown Online. Heart of Crown Online. That sounds like a gacha game, right? No, it's a... It's a... Oh, it's a... sorry, what do you call a TCG, collectible card game?
It looked like a casino game.
Yeah. This calendar still has the System Shock remasters. That's...
No, the System Shock's coming out. It's Deus Ex.
Deus Ex is not coming out. Oh my god, I can't keep it straight. There's too much.
You're losing it, Chris.
I'm losing it. I need a break. That's why I'm not... Factorio's coming to Switch too, Kelly.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
I could possibly give a mini break of looking at this. I didn't happen to notice we called the other demos I played. There was at least one I wanted to bring up.
Oh.
It's a game called Ledger Bound.
Is it coming out this year?
It's very much up the alley of a few people on our staff as you play a bureaucratic type librarian who looks at failed tactical battles, finds out how they can be succeeded, at least in the demo. And as a result, the families don't get payouts for, you know, their insurance because, like, hey, they were dumb. They could have just done this to win. And the character is so good at doing it. But while she's doing it, she consistently comes up with forbidden love
what?
For the characters. So it's like these two characters in here, but they're secretly in love with each other. And it's basically Darth Helmet playing with dolls the entire time. Tactical RPG, and it's great.
It's funny.
That sounds great. We need to have Nyx play this and review it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was just so much more fun than I was expecting at first, too. I'm like, oh, it's Ledger Bound. It's like, no, there's just... It's very much just...
I like those characters, too.
Yeah.
This is very adult.
Not disagreeing.
All right. That's so silly. I want to add it to my stuff.
Yeah, we need later. We need to have Nyx review that.
Yeah,
one.
That does sound like a Nyx thing. All right, and then what I saw another one that I was going to mention. Oh, right, at the Game Awards, Kelly, did you see? There's a game where you're a sheep herding dog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's I like the that Stray of the dog world. Why are more people not talking about the shepherd dog?
I think that. There's a little bit more to it than just that.
Well, they didn't show us though. Like you are sheep herding dog, and I assume you like gather the sheep around to solve puzzles. So no, I probably won't actually want to play it, but
the Stray of Dog games is mm-hmm. one that Downdar and I have seen on the Indie Live Expo twice now.
Yeah.
About a dog that has gone to heaven and is searching for its deceased master in heaven. They're both dead.
Yeah, that sounds like a tearjerker.
So what treats may
Adventure
come?
Title.
You like that, Kelly?
Yes.
What treats may come? Which ties into the freaking emotional ambush of the freaking holodeck thing again, too. All right. I think that's it for new games. There's plenty of stuff coming out. Nothing super duper big. Oh! Wait, we missed something. Here's Hitman, World of Assassination, Elusive Target, Eminem versus Slim Shady.
What? Aren't they the same person?
I'm not in this game, apparently.
Not in Hitman.
I actually know how this is in his newest song called Houdini. He ends up rapping against himself, so him as Eminem is rapping against him as Slim Shady from like 20 years ago. I'm not making this shit up. I think I killed the
I'm just
podcast.
Thinking about it and like, yeah, I'm going to just turn that off.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm. We have some editorial stuff. Someone help me out. Or
the
early
random
access.
Stuff yeah. You guys don't know, I know.
Mm-hmm. Wait, we have early access stuff for Blightstone, but the video was removed by YouTube? Or on YouTube?
By the what? Uploader, it says. What? Yeah, it's very weird.
And
there's some. It's been.
Maybe they
Well, wherever we linked it from is gone, but the game trailers and other places have the trailer. So I don't know what's going on. Blightstone, what is Blightstone and when's it coming out?
Roguelike strategy game. I don't have the date in front of me for when it releases, but I did play the demo of it. It was one of those types of games, like everything you're seeing from the trailer, where you play as a couple different characters, you build your squad, go through node-based progression, fight. Some of it is just based off of if you have a 20% chance to hit your party and 80% chance to hit the enemy, you're probably going to hit your party for some reason, and you just kind of go, okay, I guess everyone's dead. Some of the UI was a little janky at points, where when you're at the rest part, if you're trying to heal yourself, you have to click twice to actually heal, while everything else you just click once, like, you know, attack in combat. So, you know, it's a fine game, but I don't think it appeals to too many outside of the roguelike strategy fan base.
Peter just started playing a Path of Exile 2 stream. All right, neat.
It knows you well.
So January 20th, Steam Early Access, about $16. And yeah, what else? Oh, editorials.
Yeah.
We have a review of Inazuma 11 Victory Road.
Alex reviewed it.
I will also do that was his 200th review, so shout out to Alex for many great.
Congrats, Alex! All right, so he gave it a 3.5 out of 5, said original Inazuma 11 gameplay style is translated impressively to new platforms. Destin stands out as protagonist, lots of things to do, but the non-story modes aren't exciting to engage with, and the CPU is easy to beat in non-scripted matches. So this is an entirely new series, right?
Yeah, I think so. They've started over, yeah.
30 to 40 hour story.
This has to be one of the longest running series in an RPG adjacent way that I know nothing about personally.
It's anime soccer.
Yep.
But RPG.
Yeah, I mean, you level up and get stronger. If you just watch the anime, they learn special moves and do, you know, super powered moves, but with soccer stuff.
Interesting.
And then one of the games has aliens, but that's a whole other thing. Because of course it does.
It's, you know, Space Jam, you know, and it's soccer.
Yep.
I was thinking Shaolin soccer myself.
Mm-hmm. We have an adventure corner from Alex as well. From Armonica, he played Detective Instinct Farewell My Beloved. You can see what Alex thinks about that. It has a lot of old school, like, narrative text adventure. Visual novel style. Club
vibes.
Yeah. Like, talk, walk, go check notes, you know, that sort of stuff. And see what he thinks about it. And that looks cool. And maybe I should play that over the break just as something different. And then we have Digital Impermanence and the Curious Case of Wu Chang, Fallen Feathers. Okay, yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it. By Jordan McClain. Jordan McClain says, I don't know. This is a Chinese game, right?
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing where as the developer here is updating the game, like, they are actually, like, going back and, like, changing the story, like, significantly. And so it's kind of a weird thing of, like, you can't even play it. He was talking about it, like, he reviewed the game, you know, 6 months ago. And now the game that exists now is, like, totally different than what he reviewed at the time. Not just from a gameplay standpoint, but even the story is radically different. Bosses that were killed are now like, oh, no, they're still alive. You can fight them again. He was like, yeah, it kind of undercut even some of the themes of the whole tonal part of the story.
So is it like early access, or is this just a game they're just...
No, it was a release game, yeah. Oh, that they continued to update, yeah.
So that's an interesting case study. You don't see this done usually, but like retconning a game that's still maintained there. And yeah.
Particularly when it involves a lot of story like that, because something like No Man's Sky is, of course, drastically different from release till now, where you'd say they're two different games entirely, but they don't really have a thrill point of something like a story character, where from what it sounds like with this, you'd have like a boss that dies at the beginning suddenly become a good guy who's around till the end. Like, how did they change that?
Does it matter? Yeah. Isn't it okay to do though? Because like we completely change and improve other games that don't have story, but as soon as there's story there, does that mean we need to be tied to it? But I guess that's the point of the editorial, is to discuss this sort of, like, what should change? Should there be boundaries? Should there not be? Very interesting. Go check that out. Thank you, Jordan, for writing that. And that brings us to the end, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I have a PSA for people that are getting their kids a Switch 2 for Christmas.
Yeah.
Make sure that you connect to the Nintendo store, and if you bought any of the bundles, either the Pokemon or Mario Kart bundle, connect to the store. Basically, open up the present, get it all set up, and make sure that you get your crap downloaded now, because the stores are going to be swamped on Christmas morning, and they always go down.
And these games that are bundled are digital only, so it's not on a cartridge, so your kids won't be able to play it unless you download it.
Yeah, that's going to be my task tonight, is setting up my nephew's Switch 2. And it's not like a download code or anything. It's literally like you set up your account, you go to the store, they're like, hey, you can download Mario Kart or Pokemon. It's actually very weird.
It's tied to the system. It is strange.
Just trying to download it on the day of Christmas is a nightmare, and you'll have disappointed kids and possibly a disappointed spouse. So make sure that you set all this stuff up like before you wrap the present. Every time I've ever bought my nephew a console, I would go ahead and put the screen protector on. I'm gonna go ahead and put the SD card in. Vaughn, I don't know if I want to go ahead and set up the Nintendo Online, too. Because we bought him a gift card that was like a year of the Nintendo Online in the expansion. Because that way I could get all the Nintendo, what are those channels called? The ones that are the emulation?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that way I could get all of those downloaded and all of that fun stuff, so I'll have to talk with my husband about that. But very, very important PSA for Christmas morning, because it makes life so much easier all around. And I do this for, I would do this for anybody that had a kid and they weren't very tech savvy, but
I feel like this should be a kiosk at the mall.
Yeah.
Like, set up your kid's upcoming Christmas present.
Yeah. It would be nice to provide it as a Christmas service, but I could see how people could take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Shady people.
Yep.
I'm still surprised GameStop never did anything like that in the popular years.
Who knows? It's probably a liability issue. Like, I'm gonna have to be damn careful to not break my nephew's SD card like I broke mine.
Okay, so I want to know, Kelly, what are you going to play this Christmassy time?
It's going to depend on what Santa brings me. I did ask for the Dragon Quest games.
Good games.
Yeah.
What about you, Tam?
Well, we are finishing up the heartbreak of the Nikkei Winter event, thank God. It was a rough one this year. It dealt with the dealing with the reflections upon one's life at the end of one's life.
Mm-hmm.
An old grandma died.
Poor
You're
grandma.
Ignoring me. obviously Nikkei. I'm going to be streaming Tales of Xillia here on the channel. Hopefully starting tonight, barring if I get called in, because I am going to be I am back up on call
on
tonight.
Call. Okay.
Yeah, back up on call. And then doing my Final Fantasy 1 run, and maybe I'll, if I feel up to it, start trying to remake my progress in Super Robot Wars Second OG, or I may just save it and start one of the other Super Robot Wars for a stream once I finish Tales of Zillia.
Cool. What about you, Josh?
I've got to get around to finishing Outer Worlds too, and then once I do that, I mean, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is coming up for backtrack soon, so I need to refresh my memory on that because that's been a number of years.
Yeah, you said that's $8 right now.
It is. It is. You could play some, Kelly. Tim, you could play Tim. Some.
Actually, I have heard that Odyssey had cats.
Yes, there are cats in there.
There's cats in a lot of games right now, Kelly.
I know.
A lot of cats petting Werewind's meat, too.
I know. Don't you want to wander around ancient Greece?
Petting cats?
Yeah.
See, I was more excited for Valhalla when it came out. You said that Odyssey is the best one.
I think so.
Anyway. Well, why don't you play the one you're excited for?
I don't know.
I think you should do that. Play the one you're interested in. Don't worry about it being the bestest. Be the one you want to have fun in. I'm going to try and take my own advice and play something I'm going to have fun in. I don't know what that's going to be, though. Because I want to play all the action RPGs and all these other games, so I have no time. I have no time. Dalendar! Ryan, what are you going to play?
Well, I'm going to play Kingdoms of the Dump, and just for fun, especially since we're saying there's nothing releasing, I'm going to probably find 5 demos of RPGs we haven't talked about to play.
Oh,
there's
and
always we've got, something releasing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the In December backtrack coming up this week.
In December.
Yeah.
All right.
Basically talking about indie RPGs that are too short to devote a full show to. Dalendar and I might have a fight over off.
Nice.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't talk about my third game this week because I didn't want to burn all my material. And I've got to play a little bit more of that.
Nice. All right, so listen to the backtrack coming out this week or whatever.
And this week's backtrack just published before the show started, and it was crap.
Dragon Quest Monsters.
Dragon Quest Monsters. Thank you. Sorry.
And Dragon Quest Treasures.
Yep.
And we had a special guest star from...
Slime Time.
Yeah, from Matt Mason's... podcast Slime Time.
She was delightful,
and she made us all feel old.
Yes, very. I was in elementary school when Dragon Quest IV on the DS came out. Like, oh,
which was
God.
In 2008.
Oh God, I'm so old.
You just reminded me. Man. I have to record a new song for you, don't I?
No, Matt's doing it this year because it's the Addams Family theme.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe you should have Chris do it too and choose the better of the two.
If you can think of an iconic 90s theme song that we haven't done that we can shoehorn RPGs into.
Matt made it sound like I had it. Oh. It's fine.
I'm sorry. Am I really disappointing you?
No.
Apparently, yes.
No. I'm gonna go talk to my therapist. I think it's time I call this podcast over.
I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry, Chris.
I'm not Matt.
Wow, you just thought of that.
That just made it 100 times worse.
Yeah, that did make it worse, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I wasn't just planning out in my head how I was gonna do the harmonies or anything. It's fine. honestly, it takes a load off my plate, so. Okay. Yeah. Let's make sure Matt's actually doing that, because if he's expecting me to do it, I still need to know. Okay.
No, I talked with him.
Okay, cool, please. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. And then that's it. So stay tuned for some more streaming and stuff, obviously, through the end of the year. We've got the backtrack that Kelly just talked about coming out next week or the week after, I forget. We have Tam, you're streaming tonight. We got
Hero Harmony is also streaming tonight.
Uh-huh. And then tomorrow we got Hairfrog and you, or Hairfrog and maybe
me,
Ryan?
Scar and Hairfrog.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And
I am back, baby. Although yeah. I do need to mess with a little bit of my stream stuff. because I lost all that stuff too.
Yeah, it gives you time to do a fresh start in a new game.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought. You know, do a new game and then maybe go back to a Super Robot Wars game later.
Or not. Have all the you Super could just Robot not Wars do game. Super Robot Wars and then no.
Okay. What do you have against my Super Robot
Wars? I'm just saying it can,
tell you what, he can stop Super Robot Wars if you stop playing Path of Exile.
I stopped for a while and I can stop again whenever I want. Anyway, I'm in trouble. Let's call it. Thanks, everybody. Stay tuned for stream stuff on twitch.tv. Check out the podcast. What you are right now. So thanks for listening to the podcast. And leave your comments about holiday presents, either ones you give or receive. So let's hear about some cool things you give out. And then we'll see you next year. Okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Take care, everybody.